Well, I'm going to jump right in here. The title of today's message might be a little weird at first, so you're going to hang in there with me. You guys going to hang in there with me, okay? All right. The title of today's message is called Clean Feet and Holy Hearts. Clean Feet and Holy Hearts. And I don't know about you guys, I'm not a huge fan of feet. That passage in Scripture where Jesus is washing them, I've never washed feet before. I'm like, you know, I think it's a metaphor, right? But clean feet and holy hearts. And, you know, I really have a groundbreaking first point here, okay? Let me set this up for you. This point is something that's a little controversial. This first point is something that, you know, is going to put some people back. I know you guys are thinking already, like, what is the youth pastor about to say? Why did they give him the microphone? I don't know. That's the answer to your question. I don't know. So, is everybody ready? Are you guys ready? Say, I'm ready.
Ready.
All right, this is the first point of today's message. This is, like I said, it's a big one. Go ahead, let's put it on the screen here. What the Bible says matters. What the Bible says matters. I went to 3 years of Bible college just to give you guys that, okay? Yeah, that was expensive, right? It's sad because it's true. you know, today in 2022, I feel like even more and more that statement, though, all jokes aside, is becoming a hard thing to stand by. There's a lot of things in the Bible, and I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can be guilty of having our Christian buffet where we walk through the line. And, you know, for me at a buffet, I'm going to the carbs. Like, I want the mac and cheese. I want the mashed potatoes. I want the roast. Come on. Anybody else like to eat? Am I the only one? Like, I want the good stuff. And I think sometimes, you know, we're guilty of that same thing with the Bible. And let me tell you something. You know, our jobs as pastors, our jobs in communicating the word, our job is not to protect people from what the Bible says. It's just not. The Bible says a lot of things that sometimes in our lives I think we like to overlook. We like to omit. We like to just, you know, pretend it doesn't say these things. And so today, as we talk about today's message, I just want to give you a little disclaimer. If you don't like what I said after today's message, don't take it up with me, okay? Take it up with God, all right? Is that fair? Is that fair? No, don't come to me after the message. Pastor, I really didn't like what you said up there, man. That was a tough one. That was convicting. If you don't like it, what the Bible says matters, take it up with God, okay? Because some of the things in the Bible, I'm just going to be honest here. Some of those things, I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I like that. That one hurts a little bit. But I believe that everything that God says is for a reason and it's for a good one. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So what? So what? Everything the Bible says matters. So what? I want to submit to you something here. This is point number two. Holiness matters. A little quiet there. Holiness matters. And trust me, I understand the hesitation that comes with a statement like that. I'm 25. I was raised in a traditional church environment. And, you know, the statement itself, holiness matters, is a true statement. But sometimes that can be taken. I think some of us, maybe growing up, we were used to those mean preachers, you know? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Where they're preaching the word, it's the Bible. But, man, just the tone and the place that it's coming from and the way that it's applied, it just doesn't feel that loving. And I think we got to be careful when we approach this topic of holiness, because it's something that God does call us to as Christians, as believers. We're called to be holy, but if we're not careful, we can be a little mean with it, you know? And so this morning, I'm not trying to be mean to you, okay? Is that fair? I love you guys. I'm not trying to be mean to you. You know, afterwards, if you want to dab me up and we can go grab a coffee sometime, you know, I'm there for you. I'm a part of it. But it would be wrong of me, like what we talked about earlier, just to leave out parts of the Bible just because it's a little uncomfortable. Okay? Everybody okay there? So why does holiness... I know, that was like a whole warm-up. It's like, everybody warmed up now. We're ready, okay? That was my disclaimer going into today's message. But why does holiness matters? The first reason I want to submit to you guys why holiness matters is because God tells us to be holy. God tells us to be holy. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 14 through 19, this is what it says. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I just got to pause right there. Can we give thanks to Jesus this morning for cleansing us by the blood of Jesus? Now look what it says here. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Verse 14, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Somebody say, it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap. It ain't cheap. We got to be holy because God calls us to be holy. Holiness, it's part of God's character. It's part of who God is. And so with that, in having a relationship with God, God loves you as you are. Don't be mistaken. I'm not telling you, don't hear this message today and think, well, you know, Pastor talked about being holy and man, my life is messed up. I guess I can't be with God. No, that's not it. God loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. There are just some things in our lives where we got to trust that God knows better. Another reason why holiness matters is because we need to see the Lord. We need to see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says this, work at living in peace with everyone. And that right there can get me, you know, traffic on a bad day. It's like, work at peace with everyone. God, I'm working on it. Give him the Jesus finger. I love you. I love you. Y'all thought I was going to do something else. Y'all thought I was going to do something else. It was just a thumbs up. Calm down, everybody. I'm just the youth pastor, okay? But work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. That is heavy. And I think this is more of a word, because you kind of read that and you think, man, does that mean like if I don't have a holy life, just like what we're talking about, do I have to be put together to approach God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You do not have to be put together. What I think this verse is saying more than anything is if you want to see God move in your life, if you want to see some things that God can do in your life that only he can do, if you want to see the miraculous happen in your life, if you want to be in a grocery store and then just stop all of a sudden because you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you to have a conversation, and then all of a sudden you're having a Holy Spirit powwow in aisle A2, and the clerk is like, I don't know what's going on in A2, but we need to get somebody over there because it's getting a little crazy. If you want to see moves of God like that in your life, I think we have to realize we have to give the Holy Spirit room. And the way we give the Holy Spirit room, just like it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, if we want to see the Lord, we gotta make room for him. We gotta push out the sin in our lives, the unrighteousness in our lives, because God wants to use us. If it was just about knowing Jesus and being saved, then, you know, my dad told me this one time. If it was just about that, then as soon as I said, hey, dear Lord, I love you, be my Savior, oh, I'm having a heart attack. Like, it's time to go home at that point, you know? If it was just about salvation and that was it, what's the point of the rest of this? God calls us to be a part of his kingdom. God calls us to let the Holy Spirit work through us. It's a partnership. It's a relationship. It's something that we are actively involved in. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be where the Lord is. I want to see what God is doing. Does anybody else want to see what God is doing? And last thing I'll say before we move on to our next thing here, I think this is important. You need to understand that there are some things that God wants to do. Sure, he could just snap his fingers and make it happen. But it doesn't work that way. There are some things that God wants to do that can only be done if you say yes to him. There are people that only you can get through to. There are places where I can't go, but you can walk right in. You have access to friends and to family who, if I talk to them, they're going to just think I'm the uppity pastor and I don't know what I'm talking to about. But if you talk to them, all of a sudden, they're listening to what you're saying. You need to understand, you play a bigger part in this whole earth thing than you realize. So let's get involved. Let's get in the game. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Last reason I'll submit to you guys on why I think it's important to be holy. And we could have stayed here all day, probably well over 100 verses talking about this topic. But I want to land on, because God wants to bless us. Because God wants to bless us. James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25 says it like this. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, so receive with humility, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a person observing their natural face in a mirror. As soon as they walk away, they forget what they look like. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, a doer of the word, let God's word matter in your life. This one will be blessed in what he does. Frank, can you bring that thing up for me, please, real quick? You know, I think too often in our lives, you know, we spend a lot of money on our props. Thank you so much, Frank. We spend a lot of money on our props today, guys. That's a $100 trash can. Just kidding. It's probably like $8 from Dollar General. We ain't loaded like that. Give it to your church. This one will be blessed in what he does. I'm just going to put that right there for a second. Frank, I'm going to have you come grab this in just a second again. It's a little distracting, the whole message, you know. You preached in front of a trash can, man. What was that about? I think too often in our lives, we read God's word and we see how God tells us to live. And this verse right here, I'm not talking just financial blessing, okay? This isn't prosperity gospel. God will bless you financially, but I don't think he always does. Some blessings go deeper than that. Some blessings are peace that surpasses understanding. Some blessings are your loved ones and your family members coming to Jesus all of a sudden. Where for 20 years, it was like, I don't know if they're ever going to come to know the Lord. But then all of a sudden, that blessing of Jesus just softening their heart. And then they're turning their lives over to God. Some blessings just look like restoring your marriage. Marriage is one of the most powerful weapons that God uses to advance the kingdom here on earth. And we need strong marriages. Let me sit right here. We need strong marriages in our church who believe what God says. But too often, we sit by this garbage in our lives. And we're asking God to bless garbage. We're asking God to bless garbage. And it's got to be so frustrating, because too often we're asking God to bless what we're doing. And instead the question should be, God, what are you blessing? I stole that from Pastor. Don't ask God to bless what you're doing. Instead ask God, what are you blessing? Not enough people wrote that down. Let me talk about this for a second. Too often we got these garbage blessings in our life. God, I need you to move in my marriage. God, I need you to heal. God, I need you to restore. God, we're just not communicating well. We just can't click, and we're standing next to this garbage of sexual immorality. We're standing next to this garbage. That's just one of them. That's the hot button topic. But some of the more minor ones, God tells us to be peacemakers. God, I want my marriage to be healed, but I try to argue every moment I get. We us old-fashioned folks, we like to shout that verse, wives, submit to your husband. Well, God tells us we should submit to one another. But too often we're holding on to the garbage and we're saying, God bless me. And God's looking at us like, I already told you where the blessing is. Let go of the garbage and do this. I just threw trash. Throw the trash out, okay? Throw the trash out. Don't worry, I'll pick that up later. Just went with it. Just gotta go with it sometimes. But too often we're standing next to things where God tells us, hey, that's garbage. You want me to move in your life, but you're doing all the things that I tell you not to do. Matthew 6:33, this isn't in my notes. Matthew 6:33 says it like this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. Put God first. You've already tried it the other way, and it doesn't work. What's the definition of insanity? The same thing over and over again. I don't want to be 70 years old wondering why could I not just do it God's way one time. Give God a chance to do what he says he will do. But too often we're just, God bless me. God, I came to church. God, I went to counseling. God, I don't understand. And God's looking at you like, it's clear in my word what I'm telling you to do to bless your life. Jesus wants to give us life and life more abundantly. But there's a process to that. And we got to submit ourselves to what God says. This is why we got to be holy. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate you. The hard part about that is holiness hurts. It's not easy letting go of those things sometimes. Sometimes we want to hold on to the drinking. I'm getting in your business today. Sometimes we want to hold on to the sexual immorality. Sometimes we want to hold on to the gossip. I mean, I could just keep going. You don't want me to keep going? Or you're like, Pastor, you're getting too close to what I deal with. Can we just shut up? Well, for the sake of time, I'm going to just shut up. But you get the point. Holiness is the fruit of continued obedience to what God says. It's not a matter of, I don't want holiness. God, I'm trying so hard to be holy. It's not that. It's, God, I trust that your way is better than my way. So I'm just going to keep doing your way. And over time, we'll start to see the fruit and the abundance that comes from obeying what God says. And I want to give you something strong right here. But you need it. I need it. If we don't obey God, then we don't really love God. If we don't obey him, then we don't really love him. Jesus' own words in John chapter 14, verse 21. My job's not to protect you from the Bible, okay? My job's certainly not to protect you from what Jesus said himself. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Just let that sit for a second. And I'm guilty too. I haven't always loved Jesus, man. I thought I did sometimes. But I think in our own lives, we got to take inventory. Because love is not just a feeling. We know that. Love is well more than that. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father loves them too. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Remember earlier, Hebrews 12:14, holiness helps us see the Lord. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 4 says this: loving God means keeping his commandments. Right there, we got a definition, an operating definition for what love really means in God's eyes. Loving God means keeping his commandments. So it's a real simple question. Just do it internally. And like I said, I'm not perfect. Even now, there's times where like, God, I'm not loving you well. But loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. They're not heavy, for every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. Amen. That's a good place to give God some praise right there. There we go. Like I said, holiness hurts at first. But the outcome is always better than anything we could imagine. But it's not fun at first. It can be difficult. Obedience can be hard. But not living life God's way is harder. So choose your hard. Choose your difficult. Because it's difficult both ways. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm shooting you straight here. But I know difficult with God is way better than difficult on my own. I just start making more problems on my own. It just gets worse on my own. Obeying God doesn't mean your life's magically just going to get better. But what it does mean is God is with you. And the end result is a life more abundantly. I got something for you here. Because it hurts and it's hard at first. You know, our daughter, she just recently kind of graduated from crawling to now she's starting to take her first few steps. And it's kind of fun to watch her because when she stands, you're like, she's kind of does this little wobbly thing. And you're like, oh, are you about to try it? Are you about to try it? You know, we get our iPhones, whatever. And she's gotten to a point where she'll take like a solid 5 or 10 steps before she just, you know, kerplaps. I don't know if that's a word. Making words up here. But she'll take a solid few steps before she just kind of goes back to crawling. And you know, it's difficult. It's hard for her. It's not easy for her to walk. She's still learning how to do it. But you know what would be more difficult? It'd be more difficult if she spent her whole life crawling. It'd be more painful. Can you imagine a 30-year-old adult just crawling in here this morning? Not because they can't walk, but because they're just all, I never learned how to walk. It was too hard. Well, I'm watching you right now, man, and you like got the trash on the way in. You got dust on your knees, and someone spilled their coffee on you because you're crawling. But okay, it's funny. We laugh about it, but in our Christian walk, in our spiritual lives, we do it all the time. God, I never learned how to walk. God, I'm comfortable with crawling. God, I'm comfortable being down here, and God is trying to pull you out of the down here. But it's going to be hard at first, and it's not going to be easy, but just trust that God is going to take care of you the whole way. Give God your marriages. Give God your kids. Give God your friends. Give God your workplace, and watch what he will do. Now, let me give you guys a disclaimer, because like I said, anytime we talk about holiness, you know, some people can just be mean about it. So let me give you guys, if you take anything from today's message today, don't go home and, well, Pastor told me to be holy, so be holy. Don't be like that. If you take one thing from today, this is what I want you to take. Worry about your own sin more than you worry about other people's sin. You got plenty of your own problems to be snooping in somebody else's business, telling them how they should live their lives. They got the Bible for that. They don't really need you. Matthew chapter 7 says it like this, verse 3. This is Jesus' words. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. I thought about taking that last part out, but then I realized Jesus said it, so I don't want to edit Amen. What Jesus said. Amen. So, I mean, that's kind of tough, right? I mean, we're talking about holiness. We're talking about submitting to what God says. I mean, Jesus talks about people being pigs, basically, because they don't value holiness, and that's tense. That's tense. Where's the grace in that? You know, we got truth, and we got all those things. Where's the grace? What is the point of all of this stuff that we're talking about? Where is the grace point? I was really excited about that one, you know, obviously, stupidly so. Just let me have a little fun today, okay? Again, I'm just the youth pastor, all right, guys? My last point today is grace matters. What the Bible says matters, holiness matters, and grace matters. It all comes together. The Bible makes sense when you keep it in context. You can't have one without the other. Jesus was both. Jesus said some really tough stuff for us to live by. But he also was hanging out with some really tough people. And he loved them. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9 says this. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. He lives forever. I mean, what's the difference between a week? The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. You know, I think sometimes we can see God's standard and think to ourselves, wow, that's a lot, right? I mean, let's just be honest. But two, we can think to ourselves, God, this is your standard, but why haven't you come back yet? Why do I got to live my life this way? It doesn't feel like you're here yet. This verse is talking about when Jesus comes back and takes us all to heaven. But that idea of God isn't being slow, he's being patient. And the reason why it seems like he's taking his time is because he wants everyone to repent. He wants everyone to be with him. People ask all the time, why does God send people to hell? God doesn't send people to hell. People send people to hell. God's waiting because he wants everyone to be with him. And you need to understand something. God is not slow. He's patient. God is not insert here. God isn't calling us to holiness because he's old-fashioned. God isn't calling us to holiness because he's mean. God isn't calling us to a higher standard because he's angry. God wants the best for our lives. And if we don't get it yet, we just need to trust it. As a child, I didn't fully understand all of the things that my parents made me do, but now looking back, I'm glad that they did. And I know I'm not talking about anybody in this room. I'm talking about people who aren't here today. I know we got some old people in this church, right? Maybe some spiritually set in our ways people. You can be 20 years old and be set in your ways spiritually. But I just want to encourage you. Our perspective to why God does what he does is often not actually the real reason why. Just like he's not being slow, he's being patient. He's not being mean. He wants the best for us. He's not being old-fashioned. But it's God's standard. I think in our lives, we got to be careful about the motive that we assign to God, because if God is telling us to do something, it's for a good reason. And I could just see it now. Well, Pastor Zach sure did preach hellfire and brimstone today. I just see it. And I chuckle at that because I'm 25 and I didn't know what hellfire and brimstone was until I was like 16. And I was like, wow, now I understand. They're just being mean while they're preaching. I get it now. This isn't about that. But I don't know how you take a look at what the Bible says. And then just like that scripture talks about, seeing a mirror and turning away and forgetting what we look like, forgetting how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do. I just don't get it. And I'm guilty of it. Romans 7, Paul's talking about, I hate what I do. I know I shouldn't be doing it, but I do it anyways. I'm guilty of it. I get that. Sometimes I'm eating that burger and I'm like, I should have had a salad. But the burger tastes good. But we have a grace-filled God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 through 16. If I get the worship team to come up, please. Thank you, guys. It says this, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. Where is the grace? That is the grace. The grace is that you're still breathing. The grace is that God still loves you. The grace is like the Bible says, as long as it's today, let's turn to him. And I love that. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And then that bottom part is so beautiful, because at that bottom part, in that time, in that context, where it says, for I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy. In that context, those people thought that he was just talking about a place, because we didn't have the new covenant yet, because Jesus hadn't come yet. But I want to tell you now, this temple that God has chosen, this place where my name will be honored forever and I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart, it's precious to God. This temple is no longer a place. That temple is a person. That temple is you. The Bible says that our lives should be holy, that we should submit ourselves to God because God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit, that we are now the temple that God rests in, that we are now the place where God wants to spend his time, where God wants to hang out, where God wants to move. And watch what he says. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. God loves you. God loves you. You're precious to him. And he wants what's best for you. And what's best for you, you might not like it at first. You might be holding on to the trash can. God's like, please let go of the trash can. Please stop asking me to bless that garbage when I've already shown you what I'm going to bless. God is God. He is unchanging. His character is his character. And it's not his job to fit into our lives, but our job to fit into him. We need some perspective. We need to pray for God to help remove the pride in our hearts. Submit to God, for he is holy, for he is God, for he is good. Let him be the smart guy, okay? I want to end on this, because this is the picture. This whole message brings us to this one point. This is the picture of Jesus. In John chapter 13, I'm going to start in verse 1 just to set the stage. Your screen will show verse 6. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. And so watch what he did. This is one of the last things Jesus did while he was still alive on this earth. This is the second to last thing he did before he went to the cross. It says he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the bowl he had around him. And starting here in verse 6, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, and just remember, Peter was a knucklehead, guys. That's why I like him. I relate. Watch what Peter says. Peter goes, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested. You will never wash my feet. And Jesus replied, Peter was like, why are you washing my feet? I should be washing your feet. This is an act of service. Why are you serving me? Jesus, I should be serving you. That's what Peter is saying. And watch what Jesus says. Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Peter exclaimed, and I love this because Peter is all in. He says, then wash my hands and wash my head as well. Don't just wash my feet. I want the whole bath. Put me in a swimming pool. Put a bunch of bubbles in it. Clean me up, Lord. And Jesus replies, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. Talking about Judas. Clean feet and holy hearts. Jesus is saying, come to me. That is the picture of Jesus. Come to me. Come to me and let me wash you. Come to me and let me do what I'm trying to do. Peter, let me wash your feet. Too often, we just don't want to do things God's way. But he's God. Why are we here if we're not willing to do things God's way? Don't just show up to church. Don't just pray that one day you make it to heaven. Ask God to bring heaven now to you. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I want you guys to stand with me. We're gonna close here. There's two things I want to pray for. Peter makes a funny point. Hey, God, if you're going to wash my feet, wash my body too. And Jesus tells him, hey, you don't need your body washed. Your body's already clean, but you need your feet washed. And I think there's two things to take away from here. Please stay if you can. This is important. One, you need to be washed. One, if you don't know Jesus, and I'm not talking about know about Jesus. I'm not talking about, well, I always went to church. I'm not talking about, well, you know, if somebody asks me what religion is, I'm gonna say Christian. I'm talking about, do you really know Jesus? Do you really have a relationship with him? Is he really the Lord of your life? If God really says to do it, are you going to do it? If not, we need to get washed. We're like what Peter thought he needed. We need the whole bath. We need the blood of Jesus to wash all of our sin away. We need to submit to God and realize God is God and he loves me and he died on the cross for me. We need to let Jesus do what Jesus wants to do. And then there's this other type of person. And this was the case here with Peter. Peter knew Jesus. Peter followed Jesus. Peter did life with Jesus. Peter obeyed Jesus. Peter eventually died for Jesus. His body was clean, but his feet still needed to be washed. And I think sometimes as Christians, it's not that we're not saved. It's not that we don't have salvation and we don't have a relationship with God. It's the little foxes. It's the little foxes, the little sins in our life, the things that God's been trying to work out. I don't know what it is, but you do. Where God's saying, let me clean you. Let me clean your feet so that when you walk, heaven's walking. So that where you go, I'm going. I think there's two people. Those people and those people that need their feet washed, we just got to understand that we got to stay in the Word. We got to not let ourselves become numb to this whole church thing. We can't let ourselves become numb to this whole God thing. God is actively trying to move every single day of our lives. And God, don't let me go one day without inviting you in. Wash my feet. So we're going to have two prayers today, and I don't even want to hype it up too much. I just want you to want a bath. You stink. Just kidding. I love you. So I want to start with those who haven't been washed yet, that don't have that relationship with Jesus yet, but you want to. The call of Jesus today is, come in. Be a part. I love you. I want what's best for you. I want to bless you. I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I want to spend eternity with you. If you're here this morning and you're like, I don't fall into that, but I want to. And real boldly, I'm not even going to ask you to close your hands. I just want you to, your eyes, I want you to slip up your hands. I want you to proclaim to God, God, I want you in my life. I want you in my life. Thank you for those hands. I see so many hands this morning. You guys go to put your hands down. There's going to be a second group that we pray for here. Those who love God, already have a relationship with him. You've been baptized 15 times. For me, I think it was 3, 4. I don't know. But we just need to get back. We need to recenter. There's some things in our lives that we've let the devil creep in. We let our sinful nature creep in. And it's time to push those things out. Let there be no room for sin in our lives.
because I want to give the most room to God. I want God to do what he wants to do in every single part of me inside.